door, stuit de bal. Heel goed naar Dennis Bergkamp, Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp neemt de bal aan. Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp. Frank de Boer staat de bal aan Dennis Bergkamp. Die neemt de bal Feyenoord. Tot Brazil. Can you believe it?
Wow.
Delay. Do not scratch your eyes. You are really seeing the most extraordinary finish here. Drogba! They pulled the rabbit out of the hat again. Can you believe it?
Lovely cushion header.
But Gerrard! Oh, you beauty! What a hit, son! What a hit!
Looking at it.
Jesper Götze! Manuel Götze scored for Germany!
Dice Pirlo, 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 ancora Pirlo, di Pecco, Pirlo, Grosso, Grosso, gol di Grosso, gol di Grosso.
It's Iniesta! And the Chelsea fans cover their eyes in horror. 2 minutes from time and it's heartbreak at Stamford Bridge.
What can he create from here? A little bit of room to pick out a great ball. Sanchez, great team.
Magisterial, Lionel. Magnifico.
They are in again with a good ball. Ramsey changing the pace. Sanchez, 3-0. Liverpool in deep trouble. Arsenal on the rampage.
Yeah, that's a lovely touch. It has Giovinco on his way. Sebastian Giovinco. It's 2-2. Sebastian Giovinco.
Brasileño lo hizo su capitán, Thiago Silva. Como, como, como.
As the finest player that I've ever seen in the modern era, Zinedine Zidane.
So Jose Mourinho's found a new place to park the bus then, Joe.
Wow. Well, money, 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 money. Money, money, ego. You know, I mean, he's got to be at a big club, doesn't he, Reg? He has to be.
Oh, he's a big-time manager, no?
He's got to be there. He has, you know, like, he didn't want to go out that way at Chelsea, you know, I don't think. And of all places, you know, this is the place to be for him.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, think he wanted to give Chelsea one last.
He wasn't going to go out like that. I mean, he wasn't just going to, you know, like we say. He wasn't. That wasn't a way that a manager, like, you know, with his status and his reputation.
Yeah,
leaves.
Exactly.
Manchester's going to be interesting, that's for sure, next year.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Guardiola and Mourinho.
You know, so the Manchester derby will definitely, it's always full of excitement and passion and yada, yada, yada. But I mean, you had these two characters.
And probably these two don't like each other, being Barcelona and Real former coaches.
Yeah, I don't think they like each other too much, no. I mean, it's funny because, we all know the history. I think Guardiola was a player while Mourinho was Louis van Gaal's number two, right, or something
right.
like that.
Right.
I know I'm wrong somewhere, but you know they have a connection. But yeah, most recently the Real Barcelona.
Yeah, it should be very interesting.
For sure.
In Manchester, definitely. Guys, welcome to another episode of the Football Weekly Podcast. We're your hosts, Joe and Reggie. Tonight, we're just going to be doing a strictly Euro 2016 preview show since the tournament starts in a couple of days, actually. Hopefully, I can get this up and edited before it starts. But it starts with France and Romania, I believe, on Friday at 3 o'clock Eastern time. So we're just going to do a preview show of that, and then that'll be it for this week. So as usual, you can reach us on our website, footballweekly.com. It's FUTBOLweekly.com. You can get at us on Twitter, the @football_weekly, football spelled FUTBOL_weekly. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM, number of different podcatchers. You can get our podcast as well. You can subscribe via email. You can join the forum to talk to us. There's numerous ways you can get at us. You can go on Twitter. We have a number of different polls and questions that we ask on Twitter, so you can get involved in the show that way as well.
Yeah, vote. Please vote. I mean, we have a lot of you guys that are, we know you're listening, we appreciate it, but let us know what's going on.
Yeah.
And if you want to hear something or talk about something, for sure.
Most definitely.
Reggie, some new followers?
Oh, yeah, we definitely have some new followers. Well, we have a bunch of new followers.
We have a ton. We might not even get to them all, but...
Can't get to them all, but yeah, one in particular.
Yeah, Luca Sirianni. He's the head women's soccer coach at Seneca College. a really good program in Ontario, nationally too, collegiately. They're usually going to nationals and winning or competing for the Ontario championships. Great soccer guy. More importantly, a good guy. Give him a follow at Sirianni. We'll tweet it out too. And give him a follow. And there's other guys too. We might not get to you today.
Yeah.
Reggie, anybody else?
Well, we have, like we said before, Football Weekly is going worldwide, right?
Yeah, it's awesome.
We have a new follower from Senegal.
Fantastic.
Sidi Seyi from Senegal is following us now. So welcome to the Football Weekly family. There's a bunch of others. We'll get to them maybe next week because we have a jam-packed show and we have to fly. So so sit back, relax, get stuck in with the Football Weekly podcast, and we'll be back after this.
Hi, this is Austin Ricci from Oakland University and KW United. You're listening to Football Weekly podcast with Joe and Reggie.
So like we told you in the intro, European Championship 2016 starts this Friday, June 9th, I believe Friday is, 3 o'clock with the host nation France taking on Romania. Joe.
Wow.
Let's go through the groups. We'll pick our winners. We might pick our leading goal scorer.
Yeah.
At the end, maybe we'll pick player of the tournament. Predictions.
We got a lot to get to. Sure, it's June 10th, I know.
Oh, June 10th. We're going
to get there, but yeah. June 10th. But yeah, there's a lot here. This is going to be, I hope, an exciting one. We'll talk a little bit more about the other stuff like that. We'll bring you down to earth, but it's always exciting to, you know, get ready for a European championship, a championship of any sort.
Well, exactly. It's always good to have one of these tournaments.
And yeah. See how wrong I'm going to be. Sorry, Reggie.
All right. Leicester City comes to mind. But anyways, we'll move on. So Group A, we have Albania, host nation France, Romania, Switzerland.
This is my only automatic, Reggie. This is my only group that I just say.
Who? Switzerland?
Maybe. You know, France. I mean, come on. They got to top this group, don't they?
Well, they should.
They should top this group. Everyone's talking about this, you know, powerhouse that are the French. And I think you got to agree with that. The host nation usually is, you know, at a, you know, somewhat of an advantage. When you have one of the major powers as that host nation, I think it only, you know, illuminates that fact. This team is built to score, to attack. There's a few questions, I think, injuries this year. This week they were saying about their defense, but I think they can make up the difference. You know, they're an exciting team. That's the obvious here.
So we're picking France to come out of this group?
I'm picking France, and you know, I think Switzerland. I'm the obvious, Mr. Obvious, but, you know, what a great story Albania is, you know, with their qualifying, and that's an amazing, amazing story.
But we don't see Romania doing anything, I guess?
You know, who knows? I mean, I think of teams that have upset the host in game one sometimes, but then the host really, you know, regaining things. I mean, I can see, I'm picking France for sure. I can see Romania sneaking in as the two and surprising us. Maybe that's a surprise, but I'm going to hold firm with Switzerland and France going through here.
That seems to be probably the easiest group to pick. Maybe that and the group that Portugal is in, but we'll get to that later. But we'll move on to Group B.
What do you got going out of there, Reg? Same thing?
I got France and Romania, actually, coming out of there.
Yeah.
And France, obviously, winning the group. A lot will be seen and determined after the France-Romania game on Friday.
That's right. Reg, just for me, interesting to note here, we've been talking about all these managers. A lot of people have been saying a lot of the Italian managers going abroad and doing stuff in different, you know, countries outside of their own, obviously.
Right.
Giovanni Di Biasi is the coach of Albania, leading them to a famous, you know, qualification. I think that's worth noting here. Some of the guys that are Serie A fans and stuff like that. It's pretty amazing, too. Obviously. Not only him, but, you know, for the country of Albania. Not a very big country, not a very wealthy country, and good for them for qualifying. So,
well, Deschamps played at Juve, right, too? So he was, there's another Italian connection there, too, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So Group B, we have the ever-powerful England. And I say that tongue-in-cheek, of course.
Yeah, we'll get to them.
We have Russia, Slovakia, and Wales. And you're gonna look at this group and say, "Why? Who cares? Slovakia, Russia."
Yeah, I don't know.
These teams are pretty good.
I mean, you know, Wales. What about Wales and England playing in a game?
Right. Exactly.
Like, how much passion, and you know, finally we get to see Wales. Don't you feel bad for a guy like Ryan Giggs, who forever was just looking to play with somebody? Can you imagine Ryan Giggs in not even his prime, but maybe the end of his career, playing
with Ian Rush or someone?
Yeah, or even like today with Gareth Bale and you know, Aaron Ramsey.
Imagine those two guys are your wingers.
You know, like that would be something else. So Gareth Bale could be a decider here. Yeah. Reggie, I really like England. I like their attacking. Everyone's going to question their defending, you know, like, you know, some of the loopholes there, the holes there. Mm-hmm. I really like England here. I'm picking England to win this group.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that England could be a team that might reach a final here.
You're talking about the final of the Euro?
I'm telling you, you've heard it here. I would not be surprised.
Nah, their midfield's trash, man.
Oh, Reggie, their attack is just really strong. I think they might be okay.
Well, if Hodgson decides to play Vardy and Kane at the same time, it's going to be problems for any defense. I just have questions with the heart of the midfield. If you're banking on Jordan Henderson being the anchor, then you have more problems than you think. I think.
Yeah. Listen, personally, this might be the one where everybody laughs at me. Maybe, you know, when we look back at this in a month or so, you know, and I hope either way it's entertaining. But you just said it there. I think Vardy will get, you know, he and Kane will put people under. You know, Jamie Vardy probably get taken down for 2 or 3 PKs in this. And his pace is something else and work rate. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's one of those things where we least expect them. I agree with you there, though, that it's not just a pushover group. I think Russia and Slovakia, you know, they're worthy opponents. And that Wales, look out. So I'm going to go on a limb here. I'm going to pick England to win the group.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I could see Wales finishing too, but I'm going to pick Russia.
Yeah, that's what I have too. Mm-hmm. I have England and Russia. I don't know what place they're going to finish, but I have those two coming out.
I think, you know, you're looking at Russia getting ready for the host. You know, I know all the craziness.
Yeah.
But, you know, to host the World Cup, I think they need a good showing here. I think the pressure is immense after a poor showing in other tournaments. But, you know, I could easily see Wales too.
That's a team that works hard, though, Russia. So I can see them maybe not being the most technical, but they're not going to get outworked.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
I mean, like I said, I agree with you. And, like, this could be something that they need to lead up to, you know, hosting a tournament too. This might be something that they look to build on or build for and you know, really get going, as, you know, the pressure will be on when they do host it.
So we both don't have Wales coming out of this group.
You know what that means, right?
What is that?
They're going to top the group.
Of course. They're going to surprise everyone and go 3-0 in the group.
But do not, like, again, this team so together, even in qualifying. And you know, we often see one of two things with teams, right? Especially in the national teams.
Mm-hmm.
They come through qualifying and they are exactly who they were. Their identity stays and they're complete opposite.
Right.
I mean, Italy is, we'll get to them, but that's usually sometimes them. You know, but this could be them when they're just together. Like that whole ride with Wales, we thought this is going to end now, right? And they just kept going.
Yeah.
So, you know, they have nothing to lose here. Who has the least amount of pressure in this group? You know, you have to say it might be them.
Yeah, yeah. It's their first. Well, maybe not their first, but first in a long time that they've been in a major tournament. So
you know, and their coach Chris Coleman, right?
Yeah,
he's a former EPL
Fulham manager
for sure. So I mean, I don't know. I don't know, Reggie. They could surprise us. I'll still go with my original predictions of England and Russia, but I wouldn't be surprised if they come out and not only go through, but win it.
Yeah, wow. So you have Wales and England that might be in the final.
Well, sorry, Wales might win the group.
Oh, win the group.
I'm crazy, Reggie. But, hey, like I said, in a year with Leicester City, this is now not the buffer, this is the insurance marker that everyone has to include now, because you know, you don't want to be the guy saying, hey, they didn't or they couldn't. So
exactly.
But you know, exciting. I'm really looking forward. I think all of us, maybe as fans, neutrals, England and Wales, I'm looking forward to that one for sure.
Yeah, I don't know, I should have looked up when the games are, but I don't know when that one is, but I can see that being the last game in the group stage for that group. That would be a good, especially if there's something on the line, that'd be an excellent game to watch
for sure. On paper, passion, you know, great supporters on both sides, let's hope for a good one for sure.
Definitely. So Group C, another maybe pushover group, well, a definite pushover group, I guess. We have Germany holding world champions, Northern Ireland, Poland, and the Ukraine. And I have Ukraine and Poland coming out.
Yeah, Germany will, you know, sit bottom of that group.
Yeah.
I mean, if they don't come out of that group, you know, something's going on here.
I think they could come out of that group with their women's team.
Yeah. With no disrespect to their women.
With no disrespect to their women's team.
Yeah.
Saying that, you know, their women's team is actually pretty powerful.
Very good. You know, Germany's got to win this group. I don't even think there's a question for me.
Right.
You know, tournament ready, big game ready, top players in the world ready. This is a powerhouse German team.
It's a been there, done that team.
You know.
Been to the World Cups, been to the semis, won it last year or last World Cup. I don't think there's anything going to phase them. I think this is just a ho-hum for them.
I agree. And this draw was so favorable for them on paper. Yes, we know that, you know, things could happen, and we get it. I understand that, and everyone's going to point that out for sure. But this German team just looks ready to play. I mean, on paper. You know, have they looked the best in friendlies? We always talked about strategy. Do friendlies matter? I don't think they matter. I really want to say this. They don't. Coaches can spin it, you know, whatever way they want. If they don't perform well, they say, okay, well, we know what we got and we know what we have to work on. If they do very well, they say, yes, you know, this is the preparations are going well.
I don't think friendlies work for teams like Germany because, or even like a team like France, because Joachim Löw knows who he's going to pick already. He knows what he's going to get. You know what you're going to get from Ozil. You know what you're going to get from Mueller. And you know what you're going to get from these guys. And
you're not all often playing all those top guys.
Right.
The quality minutes that they need.
Exactly.
You know, you're getting probably one of two things. You're getting the best game from that other team.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're getting nothing. So,
right.
You know, again, and it's friendlies, right? You cannot recreate it.
No.
You know, you can't recreate playing in a finals, playing in qualification, you know, whether it be qualification, obviously going into that home country, the away fixture, which is so difficult to play in, as we talked about many times.
Right.
And then, of course, having the pressure to qualify and the pressure to move on. And, of course, if you're Germany, get to a final and win. I mean, Germany's not coming here to get out of the group. Germany's not coming here to go to the quarterfinal.
Exactly.
Germany's coming there to win. They're the one of, you know, like France, they're going there to win it.
Like you said, they have to come out. It's not. It's not
I don't see anything. I don't see anything how they don't. And I think they're going to top the group with 9.
Of course they will. Maybe two goals against.
I am interested to see that Poland game for sure. Like Lewandowski obviously will have, you know, a added, you know, incentive to want to do well. He is a match decider.
But he doesn't have that Bayern Munich team behind him.
He doesn't. But he has a lot of quality players, Reg.
He sure does, actually.
Blaszczykowski from, I think, Fiorentina, Reggie. Krakowiak.
Yeah, from Sevilla.
You know, like Piszczek.
Yeah, and a lot of teams are actually after.
You know, Glick from Torino.
Yeah.
You know, Zielinski. Like, he's got some players, Reg.
You would think the only well-known player off of the Polish team is Lewandowski.
For sure. He's the big ticket.
But,
you know,
but like the names we just mentioned, he does have a little bit of a
pedigree there.
And a backup group, I should say. But it's still not the Bayern Munich team.
No, for sure. But he's a world-class striker. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He can. And I think he has enough. Those guys, you know, playing and playing for him.
Right.
And they know what their, you know, big ticket is. And, you know, Poland and Germany usually gives us some good games. So,
right.
You know, good for them. I mean, for me, it's Germany and Poland. Again, there's going to be surprises.
Should be interesting in the stands.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, that's definitely for sure. But I'd like to see some of those guys. And I am excited to see Lewandowski play. And, you know, with his, you know, some of these guys that we mentioned that I think are great players. And hopefully we see that.
Right. The only weak area, I think, the position on Poland, I think, is the goaltending.
No love for Szczesny.
Szczesny, they got Fabianski, two former Arsenal players, and they got Artur Boric, who I think is well past his prime. But I just don't think that they have that commanding figure on the back line. Not saying anything bad about Szczesny not being with Arsenal anymore or whatever, on loan for Roma or whatever, but I just don't think that he's not that commanding type of guy, and he has a tendency to daydream sometimes.
Yeah.
But and you can't take a night off playing in this group especially. So hopefully they can work it out with the goaltending. But I think that's the, if you were to ask me a weak point of that team, I would say it would have to be the goaltending.
And their overall depth. We mentioned good players, but, you know, yeah, obviously top to bottom, right?
Yeah, we mentioned five or six good players. Yeah, but,
and Germany's got 20, too.
Exactly.
So. But, you know, nonetheless.
Right. To round off that group, we have Northern Ireland.
Good story, too. But
good story, yeah, exactly. If you go down the list, a lot of players in their 30s.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how well they're going to
probably miring in second divisions, yeah, exactly, and stuff like that. But,
you know, lots of Birmingham Cities, Queen's Park Rangers, Blackburn Rovers, you know, Melbourne Cities. And I don't think they're going to do much. They might put up a good fight. It's one of those games or one of those teams that's going to fight you and scrap with you for 65 minutes. And then the last 20, 25, it's going
to
be
they'd be a big surprise to come out of there. That's the obvious statement. But
okay, so we'll move on to Group D and the group of death. You know, it's funny how they made the Group D the group of death, right?
This one is, this is a tough, tough group.
So to start it off, we have Croatia, you have Czech Republic, you have Spain, and we have Turkey.
Wow. I mean, I really hope, as a neutral, we get some exciting games here because the players in this group are fantastic.
You're going to definitely get exciting games in this group.
You're going to have, do the top two go through, or is there one wild card?
Top two go through, and there is a wild card, but I think it's
best third place.
So three teams should be able to come out of this group, it's still going to be tough.
Yeah, and one team might be disappointing. I mean, Spain is, again, perennial, you know, favorite to go to the final usually, you know, or make some noise, you know, you could say. They had a friendly loss the other day, which was shocking.
But again,
we've talked about the friendly losses, right. But Spain is really, you know, I would say ready to, you know, armed and ready, if you will.
Yep.
We've talked about Croatia. They've been our pick as a sleeper pick, you know, to do a lot of noise, do a lot of damage. A whole hum, I've been hearing that now on other, you know, kind of things. But, you know, we've been saying that for a while.
For a long time.
You know, and their quality. And, hey, I mean, what a spectacular qualifying round that Turkey and the Czech Republic had, and their players, you know, have been fantastic.
Yeah,
in qualifying. So, I don't know, Reggie, it's gonna be a tough one.
A lot of domestic players on the Turkish national team, and that might lead you to think, they might not do so well because they're not household names, but these guys are stars in their leagues.
Absolutely.
So, you know, let's not overlook Turkey. I watched them play actually a friendly again against England, and they were holding their own with a red card.
And listen, we know about Arda Turan,
right?
You know, but they have players playing Borussia Dortmund,
right?
You know, and Bayer Leverkusen and so on. Yeah, and Fenerbahce, Galatasaray. Some of these teams in Turkey are doing well in Champions.
They're playing on the best teams in their country.
Yeah, and
Besiktas, and
that's right.
You know, so,
and they're technically sound team.
Yeah.
You know, obviously you're going to get their best with their passion and spirit. They're typically teams of this nature. So this group is tough, Reg. Who do you got coming out?
Oh, wow. Well, unfortunately for Spain and Turkey, I think I'm going to go with Czech and Croatia.
Wow. I don't think
Spain has it.
Hmm. Wow.
These hard-working Eastern European, you know, technically sound with the hunger to beat you. I don't think Spain has it. Right?
You know, Reggie, I think brave on you to pick something like that, because if we just pick these on paper, the top two teams in each group don't always come out.
Right.
So it's got to come somewhere. So that's where it's going to come for you, right?
Right?
For me, I have Croatia topping the group,
mm-hmm.
and I have Spain finishing second.
Yeah.
So I went kind of more traditional here, but, you know, I have Croatia going pretty far.
Yeah.
I have Croatia, you know, might be winning it. So, but yeah, I can see this. I can see this being the group that gets turned totally upside down.
Yeah.
I think of the World Cup in 2014 when we had Costa Rica
and
Uruguay coming out of a group with Italy and England. Now, you know, which we talked about, Italy and England didn't come out.
Right. Exactly.
So this could be that group, Reggie. So,
yeah, I just think that, just like we said, I just think Croatia has it. That's a solid team. If you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised if we started mentioning names who's Croatian.
No, that's amazing. Yep, sorry, Reg.
No, go ahead.
Just the one thing that with them is, you've heard me talk about them a lot,
mm-hmm.
if you guys have been listening to us. Can they deal with, though, being the front runner? Like, I know people are still saying dark horse, but people, they're not going to surprise anybody anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Can they produce in the role of the team that's expected to win?
Well, Joe, saying that, I don't think they're expected to win that group, though. I think it's Spain that's expected to
win. That's a great point, too. Right? Yeah,
so,
for sure.
So I think they're going in with a good team. But if you were to go on the street and ask, show people this group and say who's coming out, I think
yeah, they're still gonna
eight out of ten would say Spain's going to win the group. So yeah, I don't think they're, you know, people are thinking that they're going to win the group. But
right,
looking beyond Spain and what they have on their team and what Croatia has on their team, we both think that they come out of the group.
I think
you
so.
You say first. I say I don't know what order, but I don't even have Spain coming out.
Yeah.
So you have Spain and Croatia coming out with Croatia winning that group.
I do, yes.
Okay, and I have Croatia and Czech coming out of that group.
So. I'm going to go with the obvious answers. Reggie, I like that, though, because there's got to be one group that's going to be turned on its you-know-what.
It has to. It has to. And maybe Spain will be one of the best third-place teams. Who knows?
Yeah.
So we'll move on to Group E.
Dun, 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 dun.
Another tough group. Maybe even the runner-up group of death.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, Belgium,
oof.
Italy, Republic of Ireland, and Sweden.
Wow, this is...
I mean, where do you start, right? It's about time, Belgium.
Well, they have to live up to this, but, you know, this might be the time they do.
And this is one of those teams where it's just a who's who. When you go through the names, it's just a who's who.
On paper.
On paper, of course.
It's a fantasy type league team.
Of course.
You know, Eden Hazard, we've talked about this, struggled at Chelsea this year, came on a little late. You know, this might be the tournament for a guy like him, just like Reggie put up on our Twitter poll. You know, does he break out and gain his form again? Mm-hmm. I believe he will. I just have this feeling that he will. In game one, I think it might be one of two things. It could be a feeling out process. They open against Italy, I believe, on Monday, June 13th.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Italy's going to try to do this because I don't think they have... I mean, their number one thing that they will look to, and from what we're reading and so on, is Conte creating a group and, you know, kind of creating this, you know, philosophy that, you know, it's us against the world. And I think they have to come with that because they don't have anybody that's, you know, a game breaker. You know,
El Shaarawy has been playing pretty well, actually.
I think they have a lot of good players, Reggie. I think they have good players. I just think when you match it up, you know, the star power comparison to other years isn't there. And, you know, and I mean, not that they were going to be stars, but, you know, Marco Verratti and Claudio Marchisio, those are big misses for them. Right. I still think with them, this is the same team that, you know, I don't know what we're going to get. This might be a time, you know, they're saying all the right things.
Mm-hmm.
And Conte is a guy. I mean, he is creating almost if you were a Diego Simeone type attitude. Us against the world, we got to work our butts off, and you know, and let's try to surprise people. Right. You know, there's no expectations on them. You know, they're really playing on that, and they're saying that in the media. You know, we'll have to just believe in ourselves, so no one's believing in us. And I think that's valid. I think that's a great way to look at it.
Yeah, I think that's the best attitude to have going into a group like this.
For sure. You know, I have trouble with a guy like Thiago Motta wearing a number 10.
Mm.
You know, but that sparked some controversy in papers in Italy. But, you know, Belgium, it's got to be their time, Reggie. I mean, it has to be their time. It has to be.
If and people out there listening, if you just go and Google the lineup or the squad Wilmot picked for this tournament and read the names out loud, and
scary.
How can they not come out? How can they not come out of this group? They're going to score a goal.
I think the one miss they have is obviously, is he missing the tournament? Company,
yeah, he's missing.
That's big for them.
They actually called up a guy from Montreal Impact to take his place.
Laurent Simon.
Simon, yeah.
You know, and you know, oh, back to this with Italy, you know, like Conte not calling Giovinco and Pirlo. I mean, Pirlo might be...
But, I can understand the Pirlo.
You know, because he's not in the greatest of form.
Right, but Giovinco
is... But Giovinco's fantastic form. We all know that. We've talked about that. And I think it shows, and he made his comments, you know, Reggie, you tweeted it out too.
Right.
You know, the comments about, you know, you make your choice by going to MLS, I think that's so not getting it.
Right.
And to be fair, you know, Kaká's good enough to get called into the Copa America side.
Yeah.
And again, not playing at the level Giovinco is
right.
in MLS. You know, it's an arrogant way of looking at things, and especially when we've mentioned that the Italian national team currently, with all due respect, is not at the peak of its, you know, where it's been in the past with the names and where it's going. I think this was the ideal time to make a statement and bring in a guy, quote unquote, from the MLS. But to say, you know, you've made your decision by deciding where you're going to play, I think we've gone, you know, the Italian national team has gone back 20 years with that. I mean, that's just, I don't think it's relevant anymore today.
Well, it's one thing to be in a league that's considered a step down from the top European leagues. It's one thing to come over to that league that is a step down and be an okay player, like a guy that's going to score you 10 goals a season.
When you're the most dominant
player. But when you're head and shoulders the best player this league has ever had, you still should be able to make your national team.
For sure.
At 29 or 28 or 29 years old, you still should be able to make your national team.
And again, Reggie, great point. And again, based on what he's bringing instead. And when it's supposed to be the lowest, you know, group, I was disappointed to read that. I know a lot of Canadian soccer fans who follow Serie A too were a little taken aback, but I'm not surprised, Reggie. I told you this. Mm-hmm. It's still not valued as a league. It's still not looked at upon. And again, you know, look in your own backyard. We've talked about this. You know, fix your own problems.
But if you're the MVP in the league,
meaning the Serie A.
If you're an MVP in a league, you still shouldn't be looked at.
Of course. Again, based on, especially when you compare it to what is being brought. Well, I mean,
Graziano Pelle and...
You know, I mean, with all due respect to them, this is, it's a big miss, I think. It's a,
Immobile made the team.
Yeah, jeez. I'm a little afraid for all this, but, you know, Reggie, in saying this, every time an Italian national team is being counted out.
Right.
That's usually when
they step up.
Yeah. It's usually when they do. And again, this, if this happens, this is going to be, might be oogly. Not ugly.
Oogly.
Yeah. or, I mean, who knows with these guys? They might, because of having no pressure, they may really prepare. I'm sorry, be prepared and rally around this. You know, without having a true superstar.
Right.
You know, so, I don't know. I mean, what do you got? You got Juventus is back 3, sometimes 4.
Yeah.
You know, the ageless wonder and Buffon and a bunch of let's see. Like, you said Pelé, you said Immobile, El Shaarawy. You know, De Rossi's still there. But, you know, like, I don't know. We'll see. Candreva is actually doing very well. Yeah. He looks to be making a move. But, Reggie, I don't know. Who you got coming out, Reg?
You know what? Well, we haven't mentioned the other two teams in the league, in the group. So we have Republic of Ireland and we have Sweden. And
they have a match winner in Zlatan.
Yeah, but I've watched Sweden play. And if he doesn't do anything, nothing happens for that team.
Yeah.
From the games that I've watched, anyway. I might be totally way off base, but for the games that I've seen Sweden play, and even in the Euro qualifiers, if Zlatan doesn't do something magical, Sweden doesn't do anything.
But he can.
Yeah, but he can.
This is, that's the thing. You know, Reggie, I'll take it back to 2004.
Right.
You know, Euro 2004 in Portugal,
mm-hmm.
and Zlatan did it to Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, Ibra can just do things. And I think that team is going to work for him, and they're going to, you know, be disciplined.
Oh, they're definitely going to work for him.
And so in a game like, you know, I can see this, in a game against Italy, both teams, you know, being a certain way, and the guy is still the guy who's the most talented is on the Swedish team, and that's Ibra.
Yeah.
You know, so when you have these players that can do, that can change the game and affect the game, so in a moment,
mm-hmm.
I don't think you can count them out in a game, in one match. So, you know, I think I stirred some stuff up. I picked them to win the group, Reggie.
Sweden.
Yeah, and I don't think they're going to win the group. But, you know, I picked them in a moment of, I'm going to pick them to win. See, let's hear what people tell us, right? And I thought, you know what? Based on this whole thing, they could with Zlatan. I'm picking Belgium to win the group.
Right.
I've never been more undecided for a second place.
Right.
I'm totally, and it's not just me, you know, playing the possum. I will pick Italy to finish 2. I'm going really vanilla with these picks, Reg.
Yeah.
But I would not be surprised to see Sweden finish 2nd. Or even top this group.
You're not going to be happy with me then?
No, I'm okay with it. Are you going Belgium and Sweden 1-2?
No, I'm actually going...
Republic of Ireland?
I'm going to Ireland, man.
Listen, that team, who's to say they can't? And they won't.
I'm going with Belgium and Ireland coming out.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm being dead serious, people. I put a premium on teams that work for each other and that work hard.
And they will.
And realize that, you know what, we might not be the most skillful people and we're or the skill, most skillful team, and we're fine with that. But you won't outwork us. And they still have the guys up front, Aiden McGeady, even Shane Long, that plays for Southampton alongside Pele. He can finish.
Yeah.
So if you give these guys, if you give these guys a chance, I think they're going to score goals. So, and even the ageist, like you said, the ageist wonder, Robbie Keane.
Yeah.
Who plays in the MLS and actually is captaining his national team. So
imagine that.
Conte, I don't know what you, what you're talking about, but anyways, we'll move on from that. So I have Belgium winning the group and Ireland coming out second.
Well, listen, there's got to be surprises. I think, Reggie, you're a little bit braver than myself today with picking those, because there has to be surprises. It never goes according to plan.
Right.
And, you know, again, these are two teams, Sweden and Ireland, that have traditionally given Italy fits in other competitions.
When you're Albania and you're looking at who you're playing in the first round, and you're just happy to be there, and it's just, let's not get embarrassed. But I honestly think Ireland looks at their group and says, you know what, we might do okay against Belgium. I could see it either being close or a blowout.
Then give it a run.
But against Italy and Sweden, we can get the points.
Yeah, all bets are off. And I think that that's true. I think that's what's going to be one of Italy's, you know, sticking points. The teams are going to come in believing they can beat them.
Right. So. Well, every team's going to come in believing they can beat every team in this group.
That's
I
right.
I think Sweden thinks they can beat Ireland. Ireland thinks they can beat Sweden, and vice versa, and on and on and on down the list.
Right.
But I think Belgium's going to beat everybody.
Yes. So, yeah. That's...
So, yeah. So that's group. I think what group?
But no one, Reggie, will be better dressed than the Italian national team. Sorry to say. Fantastic. Anyway.
No, Sweden's away jersey. It's beautiful, man.
I'm talking about the suits, Reg. They wore some great suits. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Although I know it the went on Twitter, were... too. France and the Air Maxes. Those were nice, too.
Yeah, those were nice.
If anybody at Nike wants to.
The suits and the suits and the girlfriends will be out of this world on the Italian national team. But that's a different story for a different show. And finally, we're going to end off our preview with Group F. We have Austria, Hungary, Iceland, and Portugal.
Jeez.
Is this a snore or what?
Over to you, Reg. I mean, listen.
Yeah.
I guess Portugal.
I guess. If you like that type of thing, I guess.
It's the same old thing here. It's going to be Ronaldo. He's going to have a fun time. I would love to see Iceland do something. Yeah. I would love to see them. But
I would love to see Iceland. And there was a quote coming out from, I think, the guy that plays for Swansea. Anyways, he came out and said, we're not here to make up the numbers. We're actually here to play. So it's like Gylfi Sigurdsson.
Yeah.
He came out and said, we're not here to make up the numbers. We're here to play.
And they played fantastic in qualifying.
Right.
You know, so this is what we talk about. The belief that these teams have is legitimate. I think the days are done when teams would come out of the dark or come out of crawl under a rock and say, you know, we're Italy, we're this, we've been around, you're gonna come in and just take care of teams. Those days are done.
Right.
Teams, you know, believe in what they do. They're better coached, they're better prepared, all these things we talk about weekly, and that's why we see results as they do.
Right.
So I'm going on a limb here. I'm picking Iceland and Portugal to come out of this group.
Oh wow.
Yes, I am, Reggie.
That's cool. Excellent. Yep. Excellent. I have, the other two teams, we already mentioned the two teams, but I have Austria and Portugal coming out.
Yeah, and most do.
And just looking at their squad, most of the players are playing in Germany.
Oh, it's a great team, Austria has.
And top level teams.
Yeah.
Not a lot of second level, not a lot of second division teams.
I think this is where our boy is from Leicester City, Christian Fuchs.
Fuchs, David Alaba.
Of course.
There as well. I was surprised to see that
Arnautovic.
That's
a quality player.
It sure is. Yeah. So there's a lot of players on this team that, you know, they're playing, like I said, they're playing in top level divisions in Germany and even in England, even at home. So.
Yeah.
I mean,
and we're very, very good in qualifying again.
Yeah, right. So I have those two teams coming out, Austria and Portugal. Are we talking about, we're going to talk about Hungary?
I'm a little bit hungry right now.
I don't know anybody off this team.
All due respect them, I feel so bad. Yeah, you know, hey, they could do something.
They could.
But, you know, I mean, I don't know enough about them to, you know, in saying that, Reg,
yep.
We might see Hungary and come out with Iceland. No.
That's true. So that's our preview of...
Fast. That was quick.
Yeah. The Euro 2016 tournament that's taking place, that's starting on Friday.
Unbelievable. As we get closer, guys, we'll do some shows. Obviously, show next week. We'll talk about who we predict. Obviously, from the first round of games, will be done.
Right.
We'll see who's going to, you know, go through and win this thing, as they say.
We'll recap some of the major games that were played. We'll review performances. And things like that. So yeah, definitely stay tuned with us. Your official station of Euro 2016. Can I say that, Joe?
You betcha.
The official podcast of Euro 2016.
There you go.
I can say that, right?
You can, buddy.
There are a lot of players from squads representing in Euro 2016. Joe, what team in Europe, club team, has the most players represented in Euro 2016?
I'm going to take a guess.
Take a guess.
Real Madrid.
No.
Wow.
They have eight, actually. They have eight players in Euro 2016. Want another guess?
Are they from England?
One of them is. There's two, actually. One of them is.
Manchester United.
No. Liverpool.
Holy, Liverpool.
Liverpool has 12 players in the Euro.
Wow.
And their second place team. Oh, actually, there's two teams that are tied for first in that category. It's from Italy. It's got to be Juventus, right?
It has to be, no?
It is. Tottenham has 11 players.
Wow.
Manchester United actually has 10.
Gee.
Barca and Bayern are tied. And Fenerbahce are tied with 9. Arsenal, Roma, CSK Moscow, Real Madrid, Shakhtar Donetsk, and Basel have 8.
Wow.
So, a lot of players from Juve, but the whole Italian national team is Juve, no?
Yeah, well, a lot of them. Well, I mean, four or five.
Yeah.
And, you know, but yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, well.
Huh. No, that's interesting, Reggie.
Yeah.
I thought that we'd have...
thought it'd be more like a Real Madrid, right?
Yeah.
For Spain, because in the previous tournaments, the smart thing that the Spanish national team would do is they would take, you know, players in the most important positions, which is probably through the middle of the field, and they would make sure that they bring them all from the same squad so that they're used to playing with each other. Just like the German national team used to take the whole midfield from Bayern Munich.
Yes.
So that you bring them from one system and kind of play them in the same system. It's just like playing in practice or playing in league games with each other.
It's not
anything that you have to learn. You have to learn how this guy plays, how this guy. So you could probably play with them with your eyes closed.
Yes, that's right.
So it's probably better to bring everybody from the same team anyway, as long as that team is doing well. But I mean, you're not going to take everybody from Fulham and bring them to the national team and expect them to do well, right?
Yeah, that's true. But it just goes to show you, right, Reg, that you look at Liverpool with wow. I mean, all those players. I never thought.
Yeah, that was surprising to me too. I couldn't believe it. Liverpool. Wow, stranger things, right? So, guys, that's the first half of our show. In the second half of the show, I think we're going to talk about TFC.
Yeah, I think we need to.
Definitely think we need to.
To get this off our chest.
Yeah, definitely. So we'll be back after this, guys.
James Rodriguez! Oh, moment of magic! Sheer brilliance!
In the second half of the show, we're going to talk about our beloved TFC.
Well, Reggie?
Yeah?
It was Canadian content?
Yeah.
You know, at its premium, we had the Amway Canadian Championship. They're in the semifinal stage.
Right.
You know, we had Ottawa beating, I think they were beating Montreal in the first leg. And then we have, obviously, TFC.
Right.
And they won 4-2. They were up 4-0 in this game, Reggie.
It was a done deal. It was big smiles on everyone's faces.
You know, it was.
And then As soon as the goal went in to make it 4-1, it was
Yeah, here we go again.
Here we go.
It started great. Two goals from Jonathan Osorio, playing in a more advanced attacking role. Right. Fantastic. Right. Also, two good finishes. And then, finally, Jordan Hamilton getting another chance, scoring two goals. You know, you couldn't script it better for TFC.
And Canada.
It was going well. And then, hold the phone.
Drogba,
fantastic free kick in this game. Oof,
I think he played the ball in for the first goal, too.
Yes, he did. Yeah, that's a good point. He did, Reg. So now it's game on.
Yeah, and you would think going 4-0, you were just thinking, oh, my gosh, they finally got this Montreal curse off the back from the last year's playoffs. And it's just like, even, and we're talking about the away goals, obviously.
Yes.
And even even at 4-0, it was still like you were a little bit nervous. If they get one, it's going to be a game. It's going to be a game, and sure enough, they get two.
Yeah, that was so, you know that. Wow, I couldn't believe it, Reggie. That's
I was shocked. But I guess
that's TFC of old. This is what we used to used to seeing them do.
You think they took their foot off the pedal a little bit towards the end of the game?
I think naturally, absolutely.
Yeah,
and I think the inexperience came through.
Yeah,
you know, with the young guys on the field, and you know who was going to be taking control of them.
Right.
To be fair, and also, like I said, this is just moments of brilliance. I mean, that free kick was fantastic. Yeah. But yeah, I think that's. You know, definitely, that's usually in ties that might happen, right? You're up so much so early, or for so long a period of time.
Right.
It's the, you know, the end kind of garbage goals that could decide the tie the other way.
Right.
Because now it's totally game on.
And they're playing tonight, they're playing the second leg tonight
in Montreal.
In the House of Horrors, Saputo Stadium in Montreal.
Quick, scary.
Quick ride up the 401, but...
Yeah.
I mean, do you? I need a prediction from you for tonight's game, Joel.
Tonight's game, I'm going with 2-1, Montreal, and TFC qualifies.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. At the same time, if TFC scores a goal,
it's matchup. Yeah, it's pretty different, isn't it?
It's kind of difficult for Montreal, but just the track record of TFC going to Montreal lend to them scoring any goals.
That's right, and you know, I think I always say the last goal scored. In ties, affects the mindset going forward in the next game. If it was 2-2, and then TFC scores two quick goals, or two goals then and make 4-2, it changes. But the mindset here is different. The questioning themselves, the worry is like, oh man, this is on now.
Right.
You know, it creates a different atmosphere.
Right.
Right. And then again, an early goal in ties changes things. We get it. We understand it. So I just think the mindset and just, you know, settle in and don't we always talk about this. Don't lose the tie
right
in the first 10-15 minutes.
Well, exactly. And right? It's just, so, you know, Montreal's going to come out flying.
They're the ones that have, you know, they're at home, you know, and it seems to spur teams on, right?
Exactly. So hopefully USA can bounce out of Copa America and we can get our captain back.
This is tough. You know, Michael, that's a big miss for us for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Not just the playing, but the level-headedness of, you know, everyone relax.
This the is leadership, yeah, exactly. For sure.
Leadership, good word, leadership.
You know.
And even having when Giovinco gets back, and I don't even know if Altidore is going to be back.
Well, there's another thing too, right? So they're a little bit lean now on this. To get to the final, this would be an important step for them, I think.
Right.
You know, they've entrusted the young players for sure.
Right.
I think out of necessity, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, but they didn't embarrass themselves at all.
Not at all. And it tells you something too. I mean, to be fair though, Vanny and TFC and Robin Fraser and their staff, they have given a lot of chances to the young players anyway.
Right.
This year, so you know, I think the only way they're going to cut their teeth, you know, to bring back what Marco Retta talked about on the show,
right,
you know, a few weeks back, is, you know, they need chances. They need chances to play and to, you know, experiment and to go through the growing pains so they can be more prepared. And it's all that domino thing. So they're better in the league. And then, of course, selfishly for us as Canadian fans, they're better prepared to qualify at a CONCACAF.
Right. So for those of you that love to see our young Canadian players play that are playing in the MLS, you're going to see that tonight. I believe Jay Chapman starting in the midfield alongside Giroux.
Yeah.
Babouli and I believe it's Hamilton up top together again.
Yes.
And Osorio on the wing. So you're going to see a lot of, what's his face? Ashton Morgan's playing, starting on the left-hand side as well.
That's what they're saying, right?
You're going to see a lot of
Canadian content.
Yeah. You're going to see a lot of the up-and-coming, I want to say kids, but are they really kids still? Coming that are probably going to be on the national team next. So let's look out for that, and hopefully we can, we being TFC, can pull this thing out. And
it would be nice. We need something here.
We need something here, right? So yeah. And then as we progress, the guys that are injured might come back. But I don't even know if you bring those guys back in when they're healthy for this run. But anyways, we'll see. So, guys, that's our show for this week. Once again, you can get to us on our website, www.footballweekly.com, football spelled F-U-T-B-O-L, weekly.com. You can subscribe on TuneIn, iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, number of different podcatchers as well. You can join the forum. You can hit us up on Twitter, at Football Weekly, at Football underscore Weekly, and get at us and join the conversation. Vote on the forum. Vote on the polls.
Yeah, enjoy the games, but let us know about them. And, you know, let us know what we messed up on, what you want to see, what you want to talk about, all that stuff.
Yeah,
let us know.
If you think we're crazy having Ireland and who did you say? Hungary coming out? No, Ireland and who? Who did you say was coming out?
I had Iceland coming out.
Ireland and Iceland. If you think we're crazy, let us know.
I had Iceland coming out for sure.
Yeah, definitely. we'll give you a definite explanation on where we're coming from with that. So, guys, once again, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week.